You're listening to the John C. Scott Political Forum. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
She's almost ready, Frankie. What you desired, my second creation, the Bride of Frankenstein. Once again, give my creation life! She's alive, she's alive! Frankie, come here. I present to you your bride.
She's beautiful. She don't like me.
Why? Why do you reject him?
He's not my type.
Perfect. Two monsters and they don't even like each other. Wait, what are you doing? Don't pull that lever! You blew us all to atoms!
Master, who had that installed?
Well, all mad scientists have that feature.
Poor Frankie. Some romances are just not meant to be. But at Perfection Auto Works, when you bring your car in, it's love at first sight. Call 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Today's guest, Joe Morgan, the voice of the conservative right in southern Arizona. And we'll talk with Keith Rosenblum, who's covered Mexico and U.S. politics at the border for over three decades. Joe D. from the Democrats of Greater Tucson will be with us. It's a great show, a lot of information. Glad you could join us on this Saturday afternoon. Here's Joe Morgan. Joe, welcome to the show. Glad you could join us. Thanks so much. Appreciate you being here.
Always glad to be here, John.
All right, what's happening with the Trump base? Does it shrink now and look like a fewer people at the meetings in Washington recently? But I don't know whether that means anything or not. How solid is Donald Trump as he runs for another term as president?
Of all of the GOP candidates that are declared and those who are likely to declare, I'm thinking Ron DeSantis here. There might be some others. Nobody can touch Donald Trump, and that's because his base is probably sitting around where it was at the last election cycle. As far, and when I say his base, like those are people that are loyal to Donald J. Trump, and that's around 35 to 40%. And if you have multiple people running, nobody's going to beat 35 to 40% of solid support. And these are people that are not going to leave. And about, I would say, 25% of all total Republican voters are going to be people who will only vote for Donald J. Trump. And again, you can just look at the numbers that he brought out in support of him. Whatever your take on election integrity of 2020 was, he got 74 million plus that we know of. Nobody else is going to do that on the Republican side. Not a chance.
So is this a Donald Trump year coming up in 2024?
Well, it depends. I mean, a lot of things can happen. Are we going to have another COVID experience next year? Are we going to, lot can happen.
Indeed can happen. DeSantis is in Iowa, as everybody else is now going to Iowa. How strong is this Florida governor? How much of a threat to Trump is he at this time?
I'll give you one point as to why he's not much of a threat. Yes, he's got a lot of support, even people like myself who think that he's a great governor. He's done great on what are called, I consider, like social cultural issues amongst the conservative and even moderate Americans who just think that some of the stuff that we label woke has gone too far. And they like the fact he's standing up against it. I guess you could call that stuff traditional family values, so on and so forth. But it doesn't translate into national interests, especially on the economic side. Neither does it translate into foreign policy strength of any kind. And he's not going to be able to touch Donald Trump on that. And the proof of that is just look at his donations to his governor PAC that he's got set up. He's got massive big money PACs who donate to that. And he's raised tons of money. But, if you look at Donald Trump on the other side, over 54% of his totals are small donations, whereas only 6% of DeSantis's are in that same thing. So that tells you that Donald Trump has real Americans who are standing with him despite all odds, and no amount of money is going to shake that. So, yeah, DeSantis is going to be a threat because he's going to have lots of money and lots of goodwill, but it doesn't translate into being able to challenge Donald Trump nationally.
We're talking with Joe Morgan, who is a conservative columnist for the Arizona Daily Star, also a candidate for the Congress of the United States. Let me ask you about what issues in this base of Donald Trump drive them to Trump. I mean, this can't be just the magic of Trump. It's got to be some issues that they identify when they support this man, no matter what. What are those issues of the right?
Well, the man does have an animal magnetism to him that cannot be denied, even if it's just for sheer entertainment value of, like, what's he going to say next? But on an issue perspective, it's two major ones. First of all, it's the economic issues. He literally brought back middle America. People's take-home pay was actually rising, the real income that they were taking home. People don't forget that. And you look at the straits they're in now, it's a nightmare, and it's going to get worse. And then on the international stage, people can sit there and say all they want to about him tweeting things, you know, like, I have a bigger button than you, to Kim Jong-un and yada, yada, yada. The fact of the matter is that's kind of like, you know, classical Teddy Roosevelt, walk softly, carry a big stick. He didn't exactly walk softly, but he carried the big stick. Everybody knew it. And he's the only modern president that did not have any new wars. And that can't be denied. And people are now looking at what we're dealing with now, and they are pining for those days. They're like, oh, my God, we don't want to see a world war. We don't want to see these kind of conflicts. And now you've got Republicans like Lindsey Graham and others talking about, we need to send the military to Mexico. I mean, it's insane. It's like the dogs of war have been completely unleashed. And most Americans don't want that. And Donald Trump was the only modern president that didn't get us involved in anything like that. And in fact, he closed down a lot of stuff. So, those two issues alone are where most of his base is. And it's called MAGAs, Make America Great, it's America First on the economic front. And they support it. And I think there's a lot of deep, abiding support for that. And nobody else has that. It's Donald Trump.
We'll be talking with Keith Rosenblum, who covers Mexico and has for three decades, about those four Americans that were traveling to Mexico for the medical procedures when they were kidnapped by a group of armed men as they crossed the border. Apparently, the cartel has given up five or six men who they say were involved in the kidnapping and the death of the two Americans, and they've turned them over to authorities. I just can't make this up. Very quickly, though, let's go back to the idea that Donald Trump is going to be powerful. There's no question about that. But how weak is this Joe Biden as he runs for another term, Joe Morgan?
I'm sorry, you kind of broke up on me.
How weak is Biden, do you think, now as he runs for another term?
I think Biden's internally very weak. I mean, you have Democrats nationally. They're hunting. They're trying to find somebody that has, you know, you got to have national name ID. You can't just come out of nowhere. And of course, the physical ailments of Biden, they can sit here and try to hide it all they want to. But the more he's out in the public and people see it, again, they did a poll. It was a few months ago, but almost a full 75% of Democrats want somebody else to run as their candidate. Now, it's certainly not Kamala Harris, so they have a problem. I don't know who it's going to be. It's certainly not going to be Hillary Clinton. Who is it going to be? I don't know. But Biden is extremely weak. If we get into a war and if the economy continues to crash, which it's going to, they're trying to barely keep us above recession level at this point. It's just not going to be good for him or anybody, frankly, but especially, again, his age and his mental faculties don't make him a strong candidate coming into 2024. It'd be like Jimmy Carter, in my opinion.
Well, but we're going to take a quick break here. And come back with Joe Morgan, who is our conservative guest in this half hour of the John C. Scott Political Forum from the Perfection Auto Works Studios. Joe, hang on. We'll be right back. Thanks for being with us.
Radio advertising busts through clutter and reaches your customers with immediacy.
Contact Accurately Advertising.
Tell a creative story with intimacy and emotion to sell your products and services directly to your customer.
Contact Accurately Advertising.
With a cost-effective campaign, you can reach your customer over and over.
Contact Accurately Advertising.
Accurately Advertising has over five decades of radio advertising experience. Create demand and grow your business with radio.
Contact Accurately Advertising.
What organizations sponsor the news you see on TV? Do you think these sponsorships affect the news reports about their products? Do these same organizations sponsor politicians? If you recognize that our current leaders represent their own interests far more than yours, if you question the political theater you're fed every day, and If you question the approved narrative, become engaged for freedom in the Pima County Libertarian Party, no matter your political party preference.
Check out PimaLP.org or find us on Facebook. Paid for by the Pima County Libertarian Party.
Together, they brought a bit of France to the heart of Tucson. Guinea's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery at Prince and Campbell have become a gathering place for Tucsonans who love great bread and wonderful food. The bread and the pastries of La Baguette Bakery have become a Tucson favorite, and Guinea's French Cafe offers casual atmosphere, delightful French cuisine, and moderate prices. Dine in or dine out, Guinea's is just perfect for breakfast and lunch, offering specialty coffees, lattes, French wines, cocktails, imported beer, and a touch of France. Guinea's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery in the Safeway Center at Prince and Campbell have now become Tucson's destination to dine in or to take out. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. My guest, Joe Morgan, the voice of the conservative right in Southern Arizona, former conservative columnist for the Arizona Daily Star, former candidate for Congress. Joe, the slate of candidates the Republican Party a year ago for Secretary of State, Governor, and Attorney General, U.S. Senate all failed. There was so much talk in the Republican Party about how weak these candidates were. How wrong was the Republican Party to support this slate, and how much of a failure was it as we look to the future of the Republican Party trying to get back into power in the state of Arizona?
Well, I don't know if it was wrong for the party, per se. I mean, again, the parties as they exist are supposed to remain neutral in primaries and let the people pick. That did not happen. I was actually very upset about it, and you know, called out Kelly Ward and others for violating essentially the rules by supporting Carrie Lake and others openly in their primaries. And that's not what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to just let the people pick. But in this case, you know, the people did decide, and they chose Carrie Lake, and so then the party got behind them, and that's what the party's supposed to do. You get behind your general election candidates. Now, as to electability, again, I don't think I had my issues with Ms. Lake. I didn't support her in her primary at all. But the fact of the matter is you have to change tactics. And I'll just say this. I think that, you know, people can sit and say, oh, these are bad general election candidates, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, okay, that's coming from people who already don't like certain candidates. It's not necessarily that one candidate's bad per se. You have to change your tactics. And a lot of these people are political novices, and they don't understand that just because you're running on certain issues in a primary to win, you have to change the tactics if you're going to now appeal to a broader base in a general election. And Carrie Lake and Abe Hamada and others did not do that. Now, they can deny, you know, all day long and say that it was just, you know, stolen, cheated, yada, yada. I have real problems with what happened in Maricopa. I mean, real problems with what happened on Election Day. But be that as it may, that's not the real reason why. And you just look at the numbers. The real reason they lost is because, again, they did not have a message of any kind that appealed to a base outside of the very rabid core, I guess you could say, Donald Trump, far, you know, people on what would be called the far right spectrum. They're going to vote Republican no matter what. They didn't even make an effort. And you cannot do that and hope to win in a state where a third of the voting bloc is independent. They're not even party affiliated. It's not going to happen. And she lost to a horrible candidate. Katie Hobbs was a horrible candidate. And yet she limped her way across the line because of that. So that's what I have to say about that. And I think the Republican Party doesn't need to necessarily change anything one way or another on that. I think our candidates need to recognize that running for a primary is completely different than running for a general election.
You know, Joe Morgan, we used to have a very strong Republican Party in Pima County. It's not strong anymore. We may have a city council election of candidates for not only mayor but council members who have to run again with no Republican opposition. We've had great Republicans. Just go back and take a look at some of them. Lou Murphy, for example. Walkup, who was well-liked, but a Republican. There's a lot of Republicans that have served on this council, from Ronstadt to you name it. Some were my favorite, some were not. But they all were part of a Republican Party that was at least viable. I don't see how it can be viable if they don't even put a candidate for city council. Where is this Republican Party in Pima County, and where does it need to go?
Where is it? I think it's in a very, very bad state, and I've said that for a while. There's way too much internal fighting within the Pima GOP, and I'm not going to certainly air any dirty laundry on the air here at all. But I just know that to be a fact. And, you know, what happened in removing Shelley Kice and different things, there isn't any kind of real strategy with the new team to affect any kind of real change. And I'll have many of these people are my friends and they'll get mad at me for saying that, but they don't have a strategy going forward other than attack, attack, attack. Well, what do you attack? You have to have strategy. You have to work with people, even within your own party, that may not think exactly like you. And that's not what they want to hear. If there's any kind of disagreement, they're a rhino automatically. That's a bad approach, especially since we are so outgunned and outmaneuvered. We have got to find a way to have a broader appeal in what some way, shape, matter, or form, even if it's just from a strategic standpoint. But there's no effort on that front. And then recognizing that since we live in Tucson, as it is currently laid out, and in the county as a whole, and it is such Democrat heavy, you have to find a way to get independents to support you. You have to find a way. And just talking about Republican talking points is not the way to do that. And so I don't understand it. There's not really any kind of, like I said, a strategy for what's going on in the Pima GOP and elsewhere. And so I don't see any kind of horizon any in the near term future where Republicans are going to be successful. And that saddens me, because as a resident of the city of Tucson, one party rule is destructive, no matter which party it is, because you don't even get competing ideas. We are as a city being run into the ground by Regina Romero and her sycophants. And there's nobody that's calling her to account within the city council. And then, of course, her power does move into the county. And it's just a tragedy. It's going to grow worse. And, I mean, you just look at our unemployment rates. You look at the education, the lack of kids going on out of high school into actual jobs. Our young people are not even getting into a workspace. It's everything's backwards. And my party I'm affiliated with is not – has anything even approaching an idea to get it to move the ball forward as a word. All they are glad about is that they kicked out who they consider rhinos, and they have no idea what to do in any other way besides that. All their issues are national. All their issues are Trump. All their issues are these other things, and those who don't speak to people in Tucson. They just don't.
Well, it is just, it's really sad to watch this party, at one time a very strong party, and not only a party that had at least two members of the Board of Supervisors, now it's been reduced to one, and no representation in the city council at all, or even a challenge to any of those running again. I think it's tragic, and the infighting of the Republican Party has been so destructive. It really has been, and it has created mm-hmm. animosity and hard feelings, and no unity whatsoever when unity was absolutely necessary. And I think it's cost the state effort by the GOP, as well as certainly here in southern Arizona. No question about that. The idea, too, I think that independents now are emerging. You've got two independents running for mayor and perhaps another independent in a Ward 4 council seat race. So I would assume that the Republican Party is just by default turned whatever opposition to the Democratic majority that exists over to the challenge of the independents, like they just gave up, perhaps.
I would say that that's a decent analysis of the situation currently. Yeah. Like I said, it's often also coupled with the fact that we don't even have a strategy to get somebody elected at the citywide level. So, but again, I don't want there to be two independents. I know both gentlemen. I wish them well, but the fact of the matter is if they both run, Regina Romero walks in, and that's not good for Tucson. So I hope that they can come to some terms somehow, some way, and everybody rally around one candidate. But even then, I would like to have a good candidate. I want somebody that has good ideas, things like that, not just, an anti-Regina Romero vote, for example, even though I absolutely cannot stand the woman, as you well know, and anybody else who knows me, I led the recall of her. So I think she's been a disaster for my city.
Well, what people forget, too, is for the first time in our history, outside money to the tune of $1 million thrown into the race, because the mayor's husband obviously works for Raul Grijalva, who picked up the phone mm-hmm. and called the unions, who coughed up close to $1 million to throw at the campaign, outside money that we really will never know specifically where it came from. It was absolutely destructive to the whole process. And I don't see how any Democrat can feel good about that, but they seem to be able to do so, which is unfortunate. It really set a stage for God knows what's to come, because if they can do it, anybody can do it by throwing large sums of money and to really corrupt the whole, I think, system of what we would determine as a democracy. So what's your plans? You have 1 minute to tell me about your political plans, if you have some.
I have no current political plans. I mean, I'm still a member of my Republican Party. I'm a PC, but right now I'm working in the private sector. I'm no longer at Pima Community College. That's got me very busy. I'm helping build a business, HMS Fasteners, and so I don't have any near-term or long-term political plans. Those can always change, though. You never know what tomorrow is going to bring. But as of right now, I'm just very politically active at home and then also on social media. So.
By the way, people miss your columns in the Arizona Daily Star. There's nobody else that ever could do what you did, and people want it done again. Is there any hope that you could get back writing on a regular basis, at least from your political position?
That could definitely happen. I'd have to look into it, see if the Star or someplace else would be even open to that. But, yeah, definitely. I mean, I could definitely do columns again. I haven't looked into it, but I should.
You really should.
Other people tell me the same thing.
Joe, thanks for being on the show. Appreciate it. Always good to talk with you. Thank you for being involved. Thanks. Right. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe. Bye.
Joe Morgan, former candidate for Congress and former conservative writer for the Arizona Daily Star. Coming up next, Keith Rosenblum, who is one of the most respected journalists to cover Mexico and the U.S. border with Mexico, will be talking about what happened with the four Americans who went for medical care in Mexico. Two came back alive. Two are dead. The cartels say it was a group of cartel members that they now have identified and turned over to authorities that were a part of the killings. There was threats on the part of some congressmen and senators to take military action against the cartels because of the killings of the two Americans. We'll talk with Keith Rosenblum after these messages from the Perfection Network Studios. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum.
Tell me we are only going back to Acheron to kill them, right? To eliminate the aliens, right, Burke?
That's right, Ripley. Our job is to eliminate the threat on planet LV-426.
Brace yourselves, man! We're gonna crash! Just friggin' great, man. This is just classic. We crash on an alien planet. We're all gonna die. Game over, man! Game over!
Hurry! Grab all the stuff we can salvage. It's gonna be dark soon. The aliens mostly come out at night. Mostly.
Don't let your auto repairs be a disaster. Aliens in the engine, noises from the brakes, odd smells from the air conditioning. It's not game over. It's about maintenance at Perfection Auto Works. 323-8650. Brakes, belts, tires, complete auto and truck repair. 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
And they're off. Enjoy live racing Saturday and Sunday at historic Rialto Park Racetrack with exciting quarter horse and thoroughbred racing. Rialto is the birthplace of quarter horse racing, so come to the track this weekend and enjoy live racing during the 79th season. Entertainment, great food, thrilling horse racing, and fun for everyone. Gates open at 10 a.m. with post time at 1:30 p.m. at Rialto Racetrack, located at First Avenue and River Road, presented by Rialto Park Foundation.
From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Four Americans traveling to Mexico for medical procedures last Friday, kidnapped by a group of armed men after they crossed the border. Two killed, one injured, another remained harmed, at least unharmed. Mexican citizen also killed by a stray bullet. Apparent letter from the cartels comes after Senator Lindsey Graham said he was prepared to introduce legislation to set the stage for the U.S. to use force in Mexico. I'll put Mexico on notice, says Graham. If you continue to give safe haven to drug dealers, then you are the enemy of the United States. Well, let's get this unwound by Keith Rosenblum, one of the most respected journalists to cover Mexico ever after 3 decades. Keith, welcome to the show. Thanks so much.
Hi there.
Hey, well, it's kind of bizarre. The cartels have turned over 5 men, they say, kidnapped these 4, killed 2, and said this is their PR, offer to the United States. We will bring part of our people to account for the killings. Insane. Amazing.
I've been traveling for going on 40 years, I guess, regularly in Mexico, and there is a double standard. If you have a U.S. passport, or actually any foreign passport, you will generally be treated better. And that does also mean, like, a get-out-of-jail-card-free in lots of circumstances. It means that you are pretty much immune to most of the gang or the cartel violence. It means that you have to do something more when it comes to an actual crime. And it's kind of like white privilege, actually, in the U.S.
Wow.
You have to do something really blatant in Mexico to be arrested at all. Americans get warnings for things where Mexicans themselves would be jailed. So none of that part surprises me. The Lindsey Graham is dismissed in my world as being as close to a circus character in Barnum and Bailey or just a clown otherwise. And I mean, to even dignify his remarks is I consider to be an exercise in futility. But let's just say that when all the Mexicans were killed in the Walmart, people of Mexican ancestry and Mexican nationality as well, were killed at the Walmart shooting in El Paso, or let's say where we go back to the, what was it called? What were those guys, John? The Hannigan trial, you know, where they held Mexicans hostage.
Oh, good Lord, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many things where we can do this grandstanding and say, oh, you know, pobre de nosotros, poor little old us, look at what people are doing to us. So the absurdity of that kind of legislation or anything, I mean, imagine that someone else did it to us, how we would feel. But as long as you can keep a population ignorant, then you can get away with that kind of thing so people don't laugh you off the stage. Plus, being criticizing Mexicans or these kind of threats that go along with any other foreign country they're a type of grandstanding that people in public life can get away with, because who's bad? Who's gonna refute it? Who's gonna say, oh no, congressman or oh no, senator, we can't really do that? There's no, it's a no loss threat for these guys. So I pay no attention. As for four Americans, as for anybody being shot on the streets of Matamoros or anywhere else, it's life in an unstable democracy, and it is. Mexico has lots of problems, and I'm not an apologist for the country, and I'm not going to be when I'm trying to do my journalistic work. I try not to come off as either in an advocacy role or as in a critical role, just to tell people, and in my own family, where I have plenty of family that rarely goes to Mexico, or my own nuclear family here in Tucson, we take certain kinds of precautions. We're not gonna say that we don't pay attention to it, but the likelihood of anything happening to an American going anywhere in Mexico today, and I talk about places like Cancun, Vallarta, Nogales, even Matamoros, and being the victim of violent crime is still less than what it would be for someone in, I'm sorry, for that to happen to somebody, to any of us in Mexico, is less than what it would be in the U.S. So that was going to be my point. It's just not anything that I find to be alarming. This just happens to be a case where either mistaken identity, or we don't know all the details yet, but everything points to it having been mistaken identity. The fact that a cartel would apologize, who knows? Whether that's simply a show thing or real, or whether the people that were turned over or pay the price were actually the culpable parties. But that kind of action against Mexicans themselves is rarely going to cause any kind of investigation. When you do, when there's a crime committed against an American or a foreigner in Mexico, you can count on the system going to work in ways that it doesn't work for the Mexicans themselves.
Well, you've got the Mexican cartel blamed for the kidnapping of the four Americans, appeared to offer this as I guess you could call it, Keith, an apology, turning over five of its own members to authorities for their alleged role in the abduction. That's pretty bizarre. The cartels are never going to go away. There's just too much money involved, too much power involved.
Cartels are not going to go away because our offspring want them not to go away. We created demand for it, and I think we could have had this conversation from 1971, when President Nixon tells us it's time for the war on drugs, up until the present. and we'd be having the same conversation. We were too foolish to learn from Prohibition that there's no such thing. The cartels make it kind of eerie, like campfires, you know, like scare stories. What if it wasn't cartels? What if it was a lot of the John C. Scott respectable entrepreneurs of Mexico that were doing it? Would we apply a different standard? Or does cartel give us some kind of nomenclature that makes it spookier, and now we really need to act, and well, it's organized, so we better do things differently? Wherever it was, and would we do the same thing if it was the Canadians? Where there's a hunger for a product, whether it's carne seca, or whether it's alcohol, or whether it's pot. I mean, I can remember talking to you 20 years ago, and I think we had conversations about how the legalization of marijuana was an inevitability, and it became so.
Yes, it did.
And so will these other things become? I'm not in favor of fentanyl, and I'm not in favor of, we have a relative that died from an overdose, and I'm not in favor of my kids. I'm not in favor of lots of stuff. I'm not in favor of tattoos. I'm not in favor of Lay's potato chips.
Whoa. What, right, hey, come on.
Sorry, I hit a sensitive nerve here.
Wait a minute. Yeah, you've gone too far.
What is the governmental role in any of this? The Rosenblum view, which is very similar to what Jim Colby would have said, but Jim, he very much tended toward a libertarian streak, although he could never come out and say it just this way. But legalize it all and educate your kids, because stop blaming the Mexicans for supplying a market. I have never seen somebody from Colombia or Mexico or Turkey or Afghanistan point a gun at an American and say, snort, shoot up, ingest, inhale. Or it seems to me to be a series of voluntary actions, the same way that the sexual conduct is between adults. And the Rosenblum view on this would be government stay out of it altogether. But, okay, if we need some good scapegoats and some bad guys, some boogeymen to do something, the Mexicans certainly fit that role. And cartels, ooh, that's nice and scary. So we can somehow say, let's go look at these bad other people, instead of saying to our kids or our parents or whomever, you know what, maybe you don't want to be taking those opiates, because they might just be addictive, and you might just find yourself wanting more of them, and then, you know, committing property crime or violent crime in order to get them.
That's the way it happens. We know that. Very quickly, as you take a look at this, government of Mexico will be electing a new president of Mexico in next year. Is that when does this?
That's correct. 2024. Yes. 2020. Our elections coincide.
So
we actually have lots of stuff to be concerned with next year.
How will this administration go down in history of Mexico? What have these 5 years been? Well, almost to six. What would you say of them?
I would say that Mexico treated its new president, which is to say President López Obrador, they got what we got as well in a slightly different package. That is to say that if you want to call it the extremes or the excesses for a lot of people of Obama, created the fertile environment for a Trump. And I believe the excesses or the deficiencies of the PRI and the PAN parties in Mexico created the circumstances whereby López Obrador could come into office. Remember, he's a former mayor, bureaucrat. The guy's never been in the private sector for anything. He's lived off of the fat of government himself for 30 or 40 years. He's one of the but he is what you see is what you get. He's not a man. I don't believe that he's made himself personally wealthy in the 5 years he's been in office. His policies have been freaky, kind of abhorrent to a lot of us or to a lot of Americans. You know, really, why would you give the Azteca, the Aguila Azteca, the highest medallion you can give to a foreigner? Why would you give it to the president or the president of Cuba, of all things? The one thing that can be said for the guy, and the one area which I love him, and the only one, is he's a baseball freak. And at every morning press conference, and by the way, we're on 1,072 of them, and Keith Rosenblum has watched lots of them, and each one lasts from 2 to 3 hours. They're every Monday through Friday. Depending on the time zone, it's 6:30 to about 8:30 our time. That goes to 5:30, I think, because of the time change now in Mexico City. And it gives you a fascinating insight into the man. But before I tear him apart, which I want to do, I want to say that the Mexican peso is one of the most stable currencies in the world. It's appreciated against the dollar, which is a real rarity. The Mexican people who are over 65 now do get a pension, and there's a lot of social programs that he has implemented that are that a lot of people would find to be tasteful. I don't. I think that he's been detrimental to the country, and I think that this policy of brazos no balazos, which is to say hugs, not bullets, to when it comes to narcotics traffickers, has been erroneous. But at the same time, you know, you can't change the world in those 6 years. Has he been? He's a study in arrogance. He's a study in somebody who goes. I believe that anybody who's in office, in public office, go ahead. I include a family member in this. I won't get into details. Believe that people in public office, unless they have somebody there to tether them, they go from believing that they were elected, or understand that they were elected, to believing that they were anointed. And I think López Obrador has gone very quickly to being kind of having a messianic personality. I think the real test is going to be in the succession. And if you ask me in March of 2023, who will succeed? And the answer is it's going to be someone from the same party, someone who believes in a lot of what López Obrador has believed in. And so his policies have been, have been widely accepted by most Mexicans. When I say most Mexicans, I mean 70%, which is what the guy's rating has been pretty much steadily. If you show me, well, I don't need to show. The only person and the only leader in the world who's comparable in terms of public acceptance, or insofar as believing that what their leader doing is correct, the only person who consistently exceeds Manuel López Obrador is President or Prime Minister Neri of India. So the Mexicans have believed in what he's done. Now, the interesting thing about that 70% of Mexicans is that it breaks down along a class structure. So if you go to the wealthiest of the Mexicans, I would say that 80 or 90% would reject everything that López Obrador has done of the, we'll call it first world Mexico, the well-to-do people whose salaries are $60,000 or $70,000, the equivalent, and above. However, that's not what you need in Mexico to get elected. What you need are the bulk of the votes of people who are the third and second world Mexico. And those people uniformly have approved of the guy. So you know what? Maybe he tapped a nerve. Maybe the Mexicans got tired enough of the pre in the pond and the policies that they had, that they said, you know what, López Obrador, we're going to give you a shot. And generally, with a couple of exceptions, he's met their expectations.
Wow. Keith Rosenblum, thanks for being with us. Appreciate you giving us part of your weekend, and your observations have always been
great. Oh, I'll blab anytime you let me know. My pleasure.
Well, I have such a high regard for you. You are truly one of the great journalists of our age, and we've only done this, about 30 years together. Appreciate the long-standing relationship.
You're calling me out. You go back to those notes from 30 years ago and tell me, Keith, you were absolutely wrong on these things.
No, I think we could have had the same conversation 30 years ago, and nobody would have seen the difference.
That is correct.
Keith, have a great weekend. Thanks for being with us. Appreciate it very, very much. Thank you. From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this has been the John C. Scott Political Forum. Keith Rosenblum, one of the most respected journalists to cover Mexico and the U.S. border with Mexico. We'll be back in a moment with Joe D. of the Democrats of Greater Tucson following these messages.
And they're off. Enjoy live racing Saturday and Sunday at historic Rieto Park Racetrack with exciting quarter horse and thoroughbred racing. Rieto is the birthplace of quarter horse racing, so come to the track this weekend and enjoy live racing during the 79th season. Entertainment, great food, thrilling horse racing, and fun for everyone. Gates open at 10 a.m. with post time at 1:30 p.m. at Rieto Racetrack, located at First Avenue and River Road. Presented by Rieto Park Foundation.
Now, two great furniture stores have become one. Homestyle Galleries, formerly located at 1010 South Wilmot and 2950 West Ina Road, have moved the Wilmot store to the West Ina Road location, making the Ina Road location one of the largest and most complete pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessory store in Arizona. Homestyle Gallery saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Now you can turn once-loved furnishings into cash. Visit this new Homestyle Gallery store at 2950 West Dinah Road. They're open 7 days a week. There's never been a home furnishings inventory like this 15,000 square feet superstore. You must visit Homestyle Gallery's one-stop location for Southern Arizona's largest savings on quality furniture.
Hi, I'm Joe D., president of the Democrats of Greater Tucson, with a warm invitation to join our group. We stand for the democratic values of diversity, inclusion, and empowerment. We offer timely weekly programs with speakers from politics and government. We offer a monthly happy hour. All this for only $20 a year. Just search the Democrats of Greater Tucson and join today.
The following is a presentation of the Democrats of Greater Tucson, who are responsible for the content of this broadcast segment. Here's Joe D., president of the Democrats of Greater Tucson. Joe, welcome to the show. Got about 4 minutes. Give me a profile of what's coming up for the Democrats of Greater Tucson on your Monday show.
You got it, John. We're going to be having this coming Monday, Tucson City Council member Nikki Lee. So she'll be our program. And again, it'll be interactive on Zoom. And the way to get there is to go to the DTG.org, Democrats of Greater Tucson, and you can participate in our program. We also have Democrats Drinking Democratically. Our happy hour is going to be this coming Wednesday, March 15th, the Ides of March. And what we're going to be doing is having a nice happy hour from 4 to 6 p.m. at Brother John's on Stone.
Yeah, that's a great place, also, by the way. Yeah, great place.
Oh, it's really wonderful.
Good food and good environment. It's a great place to be. I'm gonna join you on this Wednesday. I want to come by. I want to just see some of the great people. Good.
Oh, great. Love to have you.
All right, what else is happening?
We're asking people to consider becoming a member of the Democrats Greater Tucson. It's only $20 for the whole year. And the way to do that is to go to the DTG.org, Democrats of Greater Tucson, and click on Join the Democrats of Greater Tucson. So other than that, we're going to be having our monthly board meeting. We've got a full agenda of great ideas on how we can get more Democrats elected in Pima County.
By the way, the whole idea, I think, is one, you've got the archives that people can go to, and I think almost every major Democrat that has run for public office in the last 2-3 years or more are in your archives. So if you want to go back and find out what they said when they said it, it's there. I just think that's a great service. And people, I don't think, use it enough or know about it, and they would use it more if they do, and that's why we're telling them. Go to the archives of the Democrats of Greater Tucson and take a listen to some of the people that you've elected and some that you didn't elect.
That's right, John. That's a great point. And all you have to do to find out what a favorite Democrat candidate has said is go to Democrat Search for Democrats, Greater Democrats Tucson. And there's a full menu where you can hear a great program, actually see a great program that you can educate yourself about.
You know, you've had some national speakers that have appeared on your show on Mondays, and I know that you're lining up some more for this calendar year as you move into 2023, and then, of course, the great election of 2024. But it's just it's amazing what this response has been to going online and going on the internet to it really just not only let people participate, but let people be observers as well as participants in an interactive session every single Monday, and it's great. So very quickly, a quick 30-second review of this Monday.
So this Monday, we're having City Councilwoman Nikki Lee, who's up for re-election, and we'll have a full slate of folks dialing in and viewing and asking questions and doing another great job as we do.
Joe D., you've been a remarkable leader of this great group, and it's doing very well because of you. Thanks so much for being on our show today. Have a great weekend. Thank you.
Yep. Thanks, John.
The proceedings have been a presentation of the Democrats of Greater Tucson are responsible for the content of this broadcast segment. I want to thank Mike Emery of Perfection Auto Works, our major sponsor. There's no person that's better at repairing your car, more honest, more willing to do whatever it takes.
Hi, I'm Joe D., president of the Democrats of Greater Tucson, with a warm invitation to join our group. We stand for the democratic values of diversity, inclusion, and empowerment. We offer timely weekly programs with speakers from politics and government. We offer a monthly happy hour. All this for only $20 a year. Just search the Democrats of Greater Tucson and join today.
Poor devil. It's so great to finally have a day off. Oh, it's time for the winning lottery numbers. I hope I win.
Again, tonight's winning numbers are 60, 66, 14, 40, 64, and the gold mega million 16.
Those are my numbers. I won. I can't believe it. I won. I won the lottery. I gotta call Angie. I gotta let her know.
Hello?
Angie, I can't believe it. I got some great news. You're not gonna believe this. We won the freaking lottery.
Honey, you're calling at a really bad time. I just picked up the car from Perfection Auto Works. They did an amazing job. It's like a brand new car. No more knocking, smooth drive, brakes stop on a dime.
I don't believe it. Well, in a way, she's right. Nothing compares to Perfection.
You may never win the lottery, but you're always a big winner at Perfection Auto Works with our free 26-point inspection from the check engine light to your squeaky brakes and even tune-ups. 323-8650.